Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. And you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Well, buckle your seatbelts because we have a dynamic personality about to hit the airwaves. Her name is Danielle Redmond. She's the executive director of the Historic Paradise Foundation, which is up in Fort Mill. And we're going to be learning about all that kind of stuff today on our Straight Talk program. And Danielle, been a while since I've seen you. How are you doing?
Absolutely. I'm well. Thank you for having me again.
So tell everybody a little bit about you.
About me.
Including this guy who's right next to you.
Yeah, my mini-me. So I'm Danielle, mom of Kelvin plus four more.
Woo!
Yes, I'm a 20-year certified educator. Native of Fort Mill's Paradise community, and I don't even know what else to say.
Well, you're a teacher, right?
Yes.
Where do you teach?
So, I actually am an instructional coach, and I teach teachers around the country.
You teach teachers around the
yes.
country?
So, I go into different districts around the country, and, basically improve teaching and learning. And so, from different areas of like pedagogy, from content, the content areas, specifically math and literacy.
So do you work for a company that does this, or are you on your own?
Yeah, I'm a contractor, but I'm assigned various contracts for a company that serves the entire nation.
How about that?
Yes.
So you've seen school districts everywhere?
Everywhere. and I can say that we're really blessed in Fort Mill.
Oh, good Lord, yes.
Because I've seen the extremes on both sides, from having affluent districts to very impoverished, and how the mindsets and how, the lack of or the abundance of, and how it contributes to the well-being of children.
Sure. And, when you take a look at public education, so much of it has to do not only with the school district, but the parents.
Yes.
Are they there to make sure that the kids are doing what they're supposed to be doing?
Yes, as well as, being an advocate as well, because, the education is only successful if you have all hands on deck.
Sure.
So you have to have parental involvement, and that looks different for each family, and it looks different for each school. But you need community stakeholders. Of course, you need the broader community and elected officials who represent the needs of each individual community as well, because the legislation that's passed is what's going to be enacted upon, right? And we need additional structures that when parents are in need, and sometimes they don't know how to ask for it, we need people to be able to convey that, what do they need to help level up the families.
When you take a look at schools today.
There
are a lot more, schools are a lot more about education. They have to deal with all the social issues.
Oh, my God.
That come through the front door.
Yes.
Kids who are in messed up households.
Yeah.
They come in hungry.
Yeah.
And you got to deal with all those issues before you can ever hope to start teaching them what they need to learn to keep moving on in the world.
Maslow's hierarchy of needs, basic needs. How can you really progress if you're starving? How do you progress if you're stressed from something that happened at home before you came to school? So regardless of those things, you still have to reach them to teach them.
So when you travel across the country to all these school districts, you're seeing this problem in a lot of places.
Yes.
So what do you tell, what do you tell the teachers? I'm sure the teachers are saying to you, I can't begin to teach math because these children aren't disciplined. They're hungry. They got these issues and that issues.
So
you're looking to you for an answer.
So what happens is before I can go in and give advice, I conduct an asset needs assessment. So based on what they have and what their needs are, what can we do? What are some things that are within the control of the teacher and the district as a whole to be able to provide for them? So a lot of that is compiled first. So just kind of profiling each individual classroom and seeing what do you have. Because we can always go on for days for what we do not have. But if you harness what you truly have and make it work versus, you know, a utopian version of if it was perfect, you know, it'd be nice if education as a whole could be perfect, but education doesn't provide everything. So it's about what do we have, what's available locally that we can really leverage to provide those needs. So if they're hungry, maybe that requires having communication with the cafeteria team about having those leftover snacks and things that teachers can have a little bit in their classrooms. You know this child is going to come in late each day, and you know that they can have hypoglycemic responses if they're not eating, and therefore their blood sugar drops, and they can't concentrate, and they have behavior issues as a result of that. So there's a lot of different things that are taking place. So if you have a school district where there's leftover things that are packaged, that can be, you know, like little deposits in each classroom, a little basket for, okay, this person didn't eat. Maybe instead of having such a strict breakfast routine, maybe it'll allow an additional 5 minutes for when that person comes in hungry. They can eat, and then they can get right to work versus giving a fight. Uh-huh. So, you know, there are a lot of those different pedagogical solutions, but it requires, you know, someone being able to think outside the box.
So I want you to tell me.
Yes.
And I could spend a whole half hour talking to you about this.
Of course.
I want you to tell me a success story where you traveled someplace, you saw the district in disarray, and you gave them a plan, and they worked on the plan, and things turned around so the next time you went out there, you were surprised.
Well, I can say that when I have to travel monthly to Memphis for a district that's in Arkansas.
Okay.
And I think Johnny Cash might be from there. Anyway, a lot of new teachers have entered the profession, and the state has incentives for those who can take an alternative approach to teaching so that they can get certified.
Right.
And so a lot of times in those programs, they're like, I'm a graduate of Winthrop, and I majored in education. So I had a different type of foundation that was set for me to be successful. But when you go in as using alternative pathways, there are often a lot of things that are missed because you're on an accelerated path to provide what's needed right now.
Sure.
So what ends up happening is there are a lot of deficits that teachers go in the classroom with. Classroom management, just knowing how to write unit plans and lesson plans, learning how to address misconceptions, and so on. There's a lot that is front-loaded that a lot of people are not aware of before teachers get in the classroom to teach. And so, and internalizing the content. So even if it's something that you weren't taught or you didn't have a refresher on, you have to become an expert in a way to be able to help others learn it. So there's a lot of that that takes place. So for instance, there's a teacher who, few of them, and I've engaged in like boot camp strategies.
Sure.
Where we're looking at the data, we're looking at 30% of those students on grade level.
Okay.
And so you're gonna have the standardized test in like, let's say, 8 weeks. So I created a boot camp plan where we took those power standards that we knew were going to be heavily assessed, and we would do a boot camp for each of those standards. And we would use 45 minutes of class time where we pre-assessed at the beginning of each session. We pre-assessed. We had the data that said that they were struggling when they assessed on that power standard. So let's say, for instance, we're doing seventh grade literacy, vocabulary or something, context clues or something. So we test on that. We find out that from that pre-assessment, 80% are struggling with that.
Sure.
Okay. You teach a mini lesson. You provide small group instruction in like rotations and so on, so that you can give direct instruction to tiered groups of students,
right,
like a below level, a middle level, and a higher level.
Sure.
So that you can then push them to be able to be successful with that particular standard.
Sure.
Then you'll give them some type of interactive game-like practice where it gets those dendrites flowing, they're motivated, they want to compete, and then you assess them again. And I was able to see where, like, 90% or so versus the 80% who struggled with it in the beginning,
right,
90% were able to be successful by the end of those boot camp sessions daily.
I tell you.
But it took a lot of strategic planning to make that happen.
Sure.
Yes.
Whew. I tell you what.
You could be in my boot camp.
Well, you know what? I don't think people really appreciate what teachers face day in and day out. I mean, it's a whole different world than it was
with a lot of other people's children.
Yes, exactly right.
Yep.
And all those parents out there who are so disengaged,
yes,
getting upset because their kids aren't performing, and they're part of the problem.
Well, and they're also part of the solution.
That's true.
How do we leverage that?
Yeah.
And how do we get to know these families? How do we understand the situation so that when we meet them where they are, we can help them level up?
Yeah.
How can we leverage partnerships locally?
Right.
How can, you know, because they need to. And sometimes the way they're communicating and interacting with you is telling you there's an unmet need.
Yeah, I mean, we've got lots of that here in our own community.
Yes.
Affordable housing.
Yes.
You know, enough money to go to the grocery store, which is a challenge for everybody these
Inflation
days.
Inflation is real.
Gasoline.
Yes.
I mean, crazy. Okay, we got to stop.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we got to stop. We got to talk about the Historic Paradise Foundation.
Well, first, a lot of those things that we were just talking about.
True, are there.
Yes.
But let's talk about first, what the heck is the Paradise? What is Historic Paradise? Where is it?
So the Paradise community is it's an indigenous community that used to be where the formerly enslaved and the blacks lived in Fort Mill, like the mill workers.
Yep.
And so the main corridor of Paradise is Steel Street. And so if you think about where Steel Street and Tom Hall Street intersects, Paradise is mostly to the east of that. And partially to the west of that. And so some of the boundaries of Paradise would be like Whiteville Park, around Bozeman Drive, Ashbrook Villas, the new Walmart. So those are some of the boundaries of the community. Right before you get to Springfield, when you end Steel Street, Avery Lake, that's one of the northern boundaries.
So roughly how many homes are in there, would you say?
So we're looking at it's around 400 something different households, but we're looking at about 186 or so houses that are in the Paradise community. The
historic part?
Yes.
All right. And those historic homes,
yes,
the 185,
yes,
are the one that you've been paying a whole lot of attention to here over the last few years.
Oh, yes. Well, we're looking at really homes that need to be rebuilt to be able to keep up with the growth in the community.
Right.
And so I went on record before the bond referendum asking, hey, can we get $40 million to rebuild these homes? You know, and for one, it will create generational wealth, and it will also exceed what's needed for the 2040 master plan to have this, you know, basically it would be like a model for the South as far as improving, you know.
Right. So these 185 homes,
mm-hmm,
some of them are how old? 100 years?
Ooh. I would say. And, well, my great-grandfather, Handy White, who's inscribed on a monument in Confederate Park, Fort Mill, I remember his will went back to 1917, where he left over 100-something acres with homes and, you know, homes and acreage and all kinds of stuff. So his will was of 1917.
It's over 100 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about history.
Yeah. So the historic
Paradise
foundation,
yep,
was created back when?
2019.
2019 was, yes, when the foundation was done.
Yes.
And the purpose of the foundation was what?
To be able to basically help the community become self-sufficient, because that's the vision for, you know, just helping to protect and preserve those, proactively protect and preserve those families and property, because we're seeing gentrification accelerate in our community, and we're trying to connect with resources and leverage so that we can invest back into the community, because we're seeing a lot that is regressing versus progressing. So how do we find resources collectively to be able to help the community?
So the gentrification, because of what's going on around it, all the property values have gone up. These homes have not been improved. They need a lot of work.
It needs more than Habitat can provide in a year. Yeah. And you're putting additional pressures on the home when you fix something, and you need more.
Well, and the taxes are going to go up every year.
We've been seeing that. Yeah. We've been seeing that.
That's the gentrification problem.
And we have a growing aging population, a lot of seniors on fixed incomes.
Right.
Yeah.
So you created the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And you have been going where to try to get help to do this?
Wherever someone says yes. because, you know, in the midst, we've heard a lot of no's. But at the same time, we can't like, exhaust the ones who are helping. You know, so we've partnered with, like, Habitat for Humanity, and we've helped families complete the application so that they can get the critical home repair. We've partnered with United Way to help parents learn financial literacy, to, you know, learn budgeting and so on, to purchase homes if they're not already in them. We've partnered with all kind of agencies. We've partnered with the AKAs of Fort Mill, Omega Tau Omega Chapter. They've been going in, helping to look after these seniors and stuff as well, providing their basic needs, you know, just seeing what they need. That's been one approach. Another approach is, you know, we have a new school coming, preschool coming to Paradise, and I've asked, you know, hey, are there some people who can kind of network and share the cause with others who can help us get about $40 million to replace those 186 homes or so? Because according to Habitat, you can get a 3-bedroom, 1,100 square foot homes with 2 bathrooms for $220,000, and with the current zoning offsets and everything. So to be able to have a more connected community where we can have sidewalks everywhere, it can be, the house can be positioned in a way that can allow for all of those things to come together, you know, perfectly for the town and raise the, you know, bring value to the town as a whole.
Well, $40 million is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, but it's cheaper than that pre-K that's coming for 750 kids.
Now, that's part of the Fort Mill School District is putting that in there?
Yes.
Okay. Which is good.
Right? It is great.
Right in your neighborhood.
Yes.
So, the $40 million, well, I'll tell you what, we have to take a mid-program break.
Sure.
We're going to remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2.
Absolutely.
Cherry Road across from Winthrop. And we prepare fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week. And, of course, the way we do it is in these wonderful white letters that we're all going to say together at the count of three. Are we ready? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice, slice. Slice. Garden, 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 garden.
Of course, you're listening to Straight Talk, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Love the bread. Number 19's the best.
Fresh, delicious bread.
It's fresh.
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
If your primary care physician has recommended surgery for a medical condition and non-invasive medical treatments are not an option, you may want to talk to your surgeon about new, less invasive surgical techniques. At Piedmont Medical Center, we use Da Vinci Robotic Surgery, a robot-assisted system controlled by your surgeon designed to allow for greater surgical precision during many general GYN and urology procedures that potentially offers you a quicker recovery. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
If a big outdoor project is part of your future plans, before you start digging, call 811. Within 72 hours, your underground utilities will be located and marked, and you'll know exactly where it's safe to dig. A quick phone call is all it takes, and there's no charge to find out where potentially dangerous underground cables and lines are located. Before you grab a shovel or start digging in the yard, call 811 at least 3 business days before digging. Remember, if it requires a shovel, it requires a call to 811.
Relax this summer with a promotional rate on select travel purchases with your Founders Federal Credit Union credit card. Now through August 31st, get 6.99% APR for 6 months on qualifying purchases, including airfare, hotels, restaurants, and cruise lines. Don't let interest rates slow you down this summer. Visit foundersfcu.com/travel to learn more. On March 1st, 2025, the promotional APR reverts to the effective APRs previously disclosed. Call 800-845-1614 for details about credit costs and terms. Membership qualification required.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
Quality of the food. I get what I want. It tastes great every time.
Hit the spot, definitely. It's amazing.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Danielle Rubman is with us. She's the founder and executive director of the Historic Paradise Foundation up in Fort Mill, which historic doesn't begin to describe it. This is a large group of homes in the Fort Mill area. About 185 of them are really in need of total overhaul or demolition and put new ones up or whatever the case might be.
I would say at least 75%.
75%.
If just a rough guess.
So I'm sitting here saying to myself, with all the developers who are out there.
Yes.
And granted, I'm not a developer. These people, most of the 185 people, they own their homes,
yes.
Most of them?
We have a 82% home ownership rate where there's no mortgage.
82%?
Yeah.
Wow. You would think that since they own the land, that a developer might say, you know what, I could come in here and build 185 homes.
Right.
Now, I can't give them to you free, but you have a brand new house for, as you say, a couple hundred thousand dollars, which is pretty cheap in today's world.
It is.
So do you think the people there are of that mentality, that they're willing to do that?
What resources would they have to pay for the mortgage?
That's your problem.
Yeah.
That's your problem.
So you have a growing senior population. And we've had $300,000-$400,000 homes placed on one of the streets in Fort Mill. Three of them. Just within the past year and a half. $400,000. And they're tiny, too. So when I tell you they're put on a... what is that lot size? It's small lot size. But some developers were able to make it work.
Yeah. But the point is, where we get to this, yes, is that if your community is such that they're all seniors are not working, their mortgages are paid for.
Yes.
And
veterans.
Yeah.
You
know. So they're not gonna have the resources to fix up these houses.
To go from no mortgage.
Yeah.
To a mortgage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what you really need is a sugar daddy to come in there with a whole bunch of money.
Oh, wow. Do you know any?
Not really.
Take over the community. Maybe put it into a community land trust or something where, you know, hey, the money is there. There's a pot, and developers come in and use the pot to demolish and rebuild. You know, I don't
so
know.
is the whole community beginning to erode simply because the houses are falling into disrepair?
What ends up happening? So we've had at least two homes condemned in the past maybe year or so.
Ooh.
But there were families that were living in them, and basically they had to They served them with a, starts with a D, I can't remember. But anyway, they had to leave. They were forcefully removed. And then when there's no affordable housing, I mean, because, you know, rents are like, what, $2,000 or so?
Crazy.
Like, yeah, it's like, it's unrealistic. So what ends up happening is they're displaced.
Yeah.
And where do they go? Or they have to move in with additional family members, which puts additional strains on the house. So that couch that you used to just sit on leisurely becomes a bed. And now it's going to need to be replaced probably in a year or a few months or so, because you have more that's using it, you know.
So where do you see this thing going? I mean, you've described the problem pretty well. You have an aging population and aging homes. All the homes are paid for. The seniors who are there don't have are not willing to take on a couple $100,000 worth of debt.
They're not able.
Not able. Well, that's right.
Of course, they would love to live in a nice, you know.
So, realistically, where do you think you're going to find $40 million to fix this problem?
Well, hopefully you have some a strong following of listeners who can connect with us with solutions,
yeah.
or can connect with their vast network of developers and people who are connected to funding. You know, CDBG grants are available, right? Can't towns apply for this type of funding? So I feel like there are resources out there, but we need some listeners out here to hear us and come up with some solutions that work for us.
What about the town of Fort Mill? I'm sure you've talked to them before. The council?
Hey, I'm waiting. I'm waiting to find out what can be done for.
I mean, have you made a presentation to the Fort Mill Town Council?
Oh yeah, I was on record 2000, maybe January 2020 or January 2019. January 2019, I was on record at the town council meeting asking about support.
Well, that was 5 years ago.
Yes.
I'm surprised you're not there every year saying, what are you going to do to help me out?
Well,
and I don't think they have the whole complete solution.
Yes, and you know, these are conversations that when the town is assessed as a whole, so we have a whole new master plan, a 2040 master plan, right? So when they were assessing and they're using these consultants and so on who are giving them, you know, the status of it, they have inspectors and people who come out and see what the blight areas of town are. When they're posing these issues, are they also offering solutions? Or can they know how to reach me. They know how to reach other stakeholders in town. Can they create those opportunities for us to engage in practical solutions that create a win-win for the town as a whole? I mean, I think we'd be a great model for how we can come together as one to let the town have true value everywhere.
Sure.
Know? Yes.
Well, I admire your spunk. I mean, good for you.
Thank you.
Live in Paradise, in the Historic Paradise Foundation.
I'm from there, yes.
You're from there. Your blood is there.
It will never leave.
It will never leave. And
yes, that's my identity, you know.
Good for you.
All of my memories, all of my everything comes back to Paradise.
There he is again.
Yes, my mini-me.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. And Danielle, you're the best.
You're the best.
Is there a website for the foundation at all?
Yes, www.fmhpf.org. So Fort Mill Historic Paradise Foundation.org.
Okay.
fmhpf.org.
That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Okay, it is that time where we're going to tell everybody out there in Radio Land exactly what happens here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We do fresh subs and we do fresh salads, and we do them 6 days a week. We don't care how hot it is out there. It's cool in here. The way we do it is in the white letters, and let's see if we can get everybody to chime in to the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
There you go. Have yourself a wonderful hot day. We'll see you on the radio
tomorrow.
Bye.